And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God proves his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I hope you did your homework this week, because the gospel, the readings that we have today, are so rich, so visual, that we can just place ourselves there in the very midst of them. And that's what our Lord wants us to do, to really put ourselves in that scene, to meet with Jesus, who is meeting with this woman at the well. We can see all throughout here that Jesus, what he's doing is he's taking the initiative and going out to meet with this woman. He's seeking her out. Remember, Jesus is God. He's man, but he's also God. And so he knows who's going to be there when he's getting there. That's why he sends his disciples away, so that the two of them can have a private encounter. It's going to change your life. Our first reading, which Anna gave for us, talks about what? Thirst. Thirst. So what's going on here in the gospel is thirstiness as well. Those in the first reading are talking about a thirst that's going on in their bodies. They're out in the desert and they have nothing. And so what God does through the work of Moses brings out water, living water, to give them life from the most unlikeliest of sources, from the driest rock he could find. He gives them life. But the same thing happens here within the gospel. Jesus brings out thirst and satisfies it in the most unlikeliest of places. We see in the gospel, Jesus is doing what? He's tired from a journey. He sits down by that well because he's worn out, he's hungry, but he's also incredibly thirsty. But the fact that Jesus is so thirsty causes something else within him, that he actually skirts the normal protocol and he asks a woman for a drink. Not just any woman, but a Samaritan woman. You know, Samaritans, a Jew wouldn't even touch a utensil, a bucket, or anything that a Samaritan touched, because these are people who abandoned the faith, who separated themselves from the Jews and went off in a different direction. He did something that any Jewish man who was self-respecting would not do. But Jesus' thirst goes much, much more deeper than a bodily movement, because what he's really doing is he's thirsting for her soul. As the preface will say right before we celebrate the Eucharist, he's thirsting for the woman's faith. He's thirsting for that. And what does Jesus say from the cross? Remember, Jesus from the cross speaks seven words. And one of those seven words is what? Dengo said, I thirst. I thirst. And at that moment, he's sharing the same thirst which is here, which is thirsting for faith, thirsting for soul, thirsting to give salvation to those who are much more thirsty than he. So what Jesus is doing is resting by that well, sending his disciples away to get a moment of repose. But he doesn't act like you and I would when we're thirsty, when we're tired, when we're exhausted at the end of a day. He doesn't bristle, push everybody away from him so that he can get some rest. But he sees that there's a woman there. A woman, so in his tiredness, he doesn't hold back his love, because he sees that there's a lost sheep here, and he's willing to exert himself even more to the very end. So when we look at this woman, what do we find out about the Samaritan woman? We see that she's coming out to the well, but when? What time of day is it? That's right, noon. Noon. She's coming at noon. What it says in the scripture, literally in the Greek, it says at the sixth hour of the day. And the commentators, what they speak about is the fathers say, not just was it the sixth hour of the day, but they speak of it as the hour at which one thirsts. The hour at which one thirsts. Because throughout the work of the day, eventually one gets tired and then thirst begins to set in. That's at this noon hour. The very hour when Jesus comes, when the woman comes. The hour at which thirst occurs. And so why is this woman going at noon? You know, women would go early in the morning or late in the evening, because at noon it's hottest. It's most uncomfortable to go, and they would go together. But is this woman going during those times? No, she's going at the worst time possible. Is she going with a bunch of friends like everybody else does? No, she's not. Because she wants to be away from them. Because she doesn't want to receive their scorn, to receive their attacks. She's an outcast. She wants to hide. But in her anxiety, she can't hide that from Jesus. Because Jesus is God. And he knows exactly what's going on. He doesn't just see her anxiety, her sins. What she sees there is a spark of sincerity within her soul, that the rocky path that her life has taken her on has removed the mask of her life to where she isn't hiding behind self-righteousness or self-delusion. What's going on in her life is that she's wounded, and her suffering heart actually has opened up a space in her life for grace to enter in. A space where God, our Lord, can reach in and give her his very life. So Jesus, what he's doing is he's forgetting about his own suffering, his own difficulties, his own tiredness and thirst, so that he can gently invite her to conversion and change her life forever. That's what's going on in the gospel. What's the woman's problem? What's her difficulty? What's her suffering? Where's the wound in her life? Deacon just read it for us. What's the wound? Adultery. Adultery is her wound. Her wound is adultery within her life. That's her sin. Her sin is, because of that, she feels like she's worth nothing. That she's been very unsuccessful in love, to say the least. Not just once, right? Not just twice. Not just three times. She's been looking for love in all the wrong places. In fact, it says that she's been looking into so many faces 5 times. She's tried to get married and failed. And right now she's taking up with a man who she didn't even bother to get married with. She's just shacking up with. And so she knows that shame. She sees that there's difficulty in her life. Just like many of the Hollywood starlets, like Elizabeth Taylor, like, sadly, many people who are here in our town and in our midst, unsuccessful in love. And so she knows that what it feels like. She feels like she's locked in a prison of her own shame, of her own fear, of her own isolation. And she doesn't know any way out. But what does Jesus do? He looks in compassion and is willing to suffer with her. He's not willing to just stay there on the outside, but he actually points out the sin. He's not afraid of her sin, is what he's saying. He's saying, your sin doesn't repel me. In fact, that's what attracts me about you. Jesus shows this woman that she can still worship God, because those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God is thirsting for her soul. He wants to heal her so that she can come back into communion with him. You know, yesterday or Friday, I had a funeral. And after that funeral, I met with a woman, and a woman there who was suffering because she had been divorced and has attempted remarriage. She was smarting from this wound. She, like many of the divorced and remarried today, feel that way. What she said to me is, she said, look, Father, I don't feel like I can be Catholic anymore. I can't worship God anymore because of my sin. I'm committing adultery and I know it. My sin's too big for God to love me. So she cried out to me. She said, Father, why is my sin unforgivable? And you know what? If I get an annulment, doesn't that mean that my children, that they're no longer legitimate? She's hurting. And I didn't just stay there. I pushed into that wound because I was inspired by what Jesus did. Pushed into it, spent time with her, listened to her, spoke with her, so she could see that she could be loved. That legitimacy has nothing to do with annulment. That has nothing to do with it. God wants to bring healing into a place that's wounded. And that's why he brings her. And that's why this woman, even from the encounter yesterday on Friday, was actually able to go away with joy, beginning that process of healing and annulment in her life, so she could once again come back to communion with Christ and to worship him. Also to receive Holy Communion, we hope. So what's going on in her life, in this woman's life here, is that God wants to be intimately involved within her life, just as he does in every single person who has failed and fallen into sin, seeking love in all the wrong places. He wants to lead her to something better. Jesus doesn't want to just sit idly by on that wall, which he easily could do, resting for himself. He longs to touch, to reach out to that place which is most wounded, because that's the place he most wants to bring healing into our lives. And so you know what? I'm inspired today by the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You should read it if you don't have it. In fact, the very first phrase in the Catechism of the Catholic Church says something that speaks to our situation today, speaks to that. It says it very beautifully and succinctly. It says this. It says, at every time and in every place, God wants to draw close to man. He calls man to seek him, to know him and to love him with all his strength. What that means is that God at every moment is thinking about us. We're on God's mind at every moment. And if we pay attention, then we can begin to see the ways in which God is reaching out in his goodness and his grace to touch us. He's not aloof from our suffering and situation. Let me give you some examples. You know, very early on in my priesthood, as a young priest, I met a woman who had just had a miscarriage. She had lost her child. It was her first time she had ever become pregnant, and she lost it. And so she was smarting from that wound. She said, I feel like I'm not a woman anymore. I feel like I'm a defective woman. I feel like there's something wrong with me, and I can't give my husband what he desires most, to be able to hold his child. I wasn't able to carry it. She's wounded in great depression and sadness. And so one day what she did was she ran off in her fear and in her difficulty off to a park bench to be alone, just burying her hand in her tear-stained cheeks. And as she was crying out to God in that moment, she heard a little child in the distance giggle with glee. That broke through her depression and woke her up. And so she looked around to the left and to the right. And you know what she saw? Nothing. Nobody. There wasn't anybody around. And then she began to realize. She began to feel the warmth of grace in her heart, because she realized that God was speaking to her in that moment and letting her hear that Jesus was holding her child and playing with her child. And her child, her little boy, was doing just fine. Gave her the grace to go on. Why? Because she was paying attention to Christ. You know, in my own life, just a few weeks ago, this is what I wrote about in the paper, in the paper this week. The little Johnny. Little Johnny, that four-year-old who was dealing with great difficulty and suffering in his life, as he came into my office, sitting on his mother's lap, eating those goldfish. Remember, he gave me one or two of them. And then he gave me his whole little handful. And then after that, he leapt out of his mother's lap and just poured all his goldfish into my hand to fill my hand with them. He sent me a bag of goldfish the very next day so that I could have one for my own. Why? Not because I was hungry, not because I needed something from him, but he could see there's a wound in my life. I wasn't feeling like I was doing what God was calling me to do. I felt like I was ineffective in my ministry. I was smarting from a wound. And through this little boy, Johnny, he was able to show me that God was caring for my every need. You know, in the times of the French Revolution, when Napoleon, what he did was he found a man and cast him into prison for no good reason. And this man, when he was locked away in that dungeon, began to fall into a depression because nobody tried to get him out. His family abandoned him. His friends neglected him. Nobody cared for him, it felt like. And so he was locked away in the darkness and the dankness of that dungeon. So what he did was he found a little stone on that ground and traced some letters in the wall. He wrote, "Nobody cares." And stayed there in his gloom. Well, after a while, through a crack in the floor, there just shot up a little bit of green grass, a little blade. And so what he did was each and every day, out of the little bit of water that he was given to sustain his life there in the prison, he put a little bit of that on that little thing. on that little blade, day in and day out, each day, feeding it with a little bit of water, slaking its thirst. One day when he woke up, in the midst of that darkness, he saw that there was a little bloom on the end of that piece of grass, the most beautiful blue flower he had ever seen in his life. And at that moment, he felt warmth within his heart, reached over for that rock which he had used before and scratched out what he had seen upon the wall and wrote below it something different. He wrote, "God cares. God cares." And he saw that moment and he received that grace because he was paying attention to God and actually saw that God was paying attention to him. You see, Christ himself is like that plant, like that flower, reaching out in the darkness and the recesses of our own souls and the difficulties which we have. And the water of grace which Christ has is flowing into the desert of our lives here in this fallen world. And because we believe in the love of Christ, we can call ourselves little Christs, Christians. But God wants to be intimately involved within our lives too, not just in these stories, not just in these moments. God wants to lead us to something better. Jesus doesn't want to sit idly by upon the wall watching us as we go through life suffering. He longs to reach out and touch us, to touch us in the very place where we're most wounded, whatever that is. Whether that's a failed marriage within our lives or drug and alcohol problem, a sexual addiction that's going on. Maybe it's a grudge that's destroying us. Or somebody who's wounded us in a way that we just can't deal with. Whatever it is, that's where God wants to touch and to heal. He wants to touch that wound with a precision strike of his own mercy so that he can bring healing to the very place where we're most wounded. That's what God wants. See, each of us has a wound. Maybe different than the person next to us, but each of us contains a wound within our lives. And in this Mass, Jesus is asking us for faith and for hope. He wants to give us faith and hope. He wants us to ask for this here in this Mass so that we can see his love in our situation. And that's exactly what he wants to give us today in Mass. What does he say in the Scriptures? He says, "Ask and you will receive." He says to us, "Seek and you will find." He says, "Knock and the door will be open to you." Because hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God, which has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, has been given to us. And God proves his love to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' thirst is to heal you today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.